Hear me, Lord. Answer me. I call to you all day long. I put my trust in you. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry. Teach me your ways.
Morning. So I had a good friend of mine come visit from Ukraine, and he wanted to see the Grand Canyon, so I took him to see the Grand Canyon. And who would know that a place where 5.5 million people visit every year has poor cell phone service? It was terrible. And so we get there, and there was something that I knew had important had happened that day, and I needed to call my wife Jolene, and so I call her, and she can't hear me. Can you repeat what you said? Can you say it again? I can't hear you. It was so frustrating. So I walked outside into the woods where there are hungry bears to try to find a signal, and nothing. And so finally, in frustration, I just had to hang up because we couldn't carry on a conversation. And you know, cell phone companies know that because all the advertising is that they promise to give you a clear, reliable network, you know, with the most coverage, because we want to have those clear conversations where there's no interruptions. That's important to us. And that's also important not only when we're trying to talk to people that are important to us, but it's important when we're trying to connect with God. We want to have the ability to communicate with God in a way that's so clear, without interruption, that just has an unmistakable meaning to it. And that's what we want, and that's what we value, and that's what we need. And so that's why we're doing this series called Engage. What we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to look at how can we develop a consistent, clear connection with God. How can we engage God in a continual way that will be life-changing and life-transforming? Research tells us, and this is so interesting to me, that regardless of a person's religious beliefs or not even having religious beliefs, that almost all of us pray. And there's some of us who pray really well, who are just good at it. But honestly, most of us struggle, at least in seasons in our lives, with prayer. Sometimes it just seems like when we pray that maybe God isn't listening, or he certainly doesn't seem to be answering, at least at times. Or sometimes we just sense that God is so distant and it's hard to even sense him or feel him. And I talk to people all the time who struggle with that experience. Or sometimes we just don't feel like praying for whatever reasons. And we all struggle in different ways with this idea of prayer, at least at times we do. Now, I first came to faith when I was in high school. And right as I came to faith, right as I was learning about the scripture, right as I was learning about prayer, it was also a time when my mom became completely invalid. She had a disease called multiple sclerosis. And by completely invalid, she was bedfast. We had to feed her. She couldn't talk. We had to do everything for her. And what was so strange about this disease was that even though she could do nothing for herself, she was fully aware and conscious of everything going on around her. And she lived with that for 26 years. So here I am, I'm new in the faith. And so obviously one of my very first prayers was, God, heal my mom. And I prayed every day. I prayed believing. I prayed asking God to restore her health. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for years without fail. And then there came a point where I quit praying for her healing because there was no answer. Now, when I say I quit praying, I didn't quit praying. I still continue to pray. I just quit praying for healing. And it wasn't because I didn't trust that God was good. It wasn't because I didn't believe that God was powerful. I really did believe that God was good and powerful. I believed he could heal my mom, but I also believed I was getting an answer, and the answer, for whatever reason, was no. And I came to an awareness that that was okay, that what I needed more than my answer that I wanted was I needed God. I needed to engage with God no matter what the circumstances were in my life. And then my next kind of season of prayer was actually even in some ways more difficult, because I entered a season of my life where I got really busy. I went to college, I graduated, got my first full-time job, got married, got kids, and life got really full. Some of you know what that's like. And what's interesting, and it was unfortunately a long season, where I just really didn't engage with God much, except when there was an emergency. Help! Right? We're all good at that. When we're really in trouble, we remember to pray. But I'd really just sort of ignored God, not totally, not completely, but there wasn't that real constant connection and engagement with Him. And unfortunately, it took too many years before I realized I really did need that kind of moment by moment engagement with God, that there was a richness to inviting God to be more and more a part of my everyday life. And what I hope for us over the next few weeks as we do this series called Engage is that what I hope, that whatever your experience has been or is right now with prayer, I just hope that you'll at least look again at this thing called prayer, engaging with God in a deeper way. What if we all really engaged with God in ways that would be truly life-giving? What if we were to engage with God in ways that truly made a difference in who we are, who we become? It made a difference in our attitudes. What if we really engaged with God in ways that would result in us having a really meaningful experience with God all throughout our day? That would be incredible. And that's what I hope that we'll be able to at least be challenged and encouraged to look at that and to go deeper with that. Now, let's step back a second and ask a basic question. What exactly is prayer? There are all kinds of definitions, so many books written on prayer, and I love the simplicity of a Christian author named Paul Miller. He describes it, this way. Prayer is where you and God meet. Prayer is where you and God meet. There's lots of ways we can describe prayer, but I love the simplicity of that. Prayer is when we're actually engaging God, whatever that looks like, all throughout our day. And the idea is that the more of God in our life, then the more that we're shaped by God Himself. The more that He's a part of our life, the more He influences us. The prayer then becomes the key to really experiencing a change in our life, to experience real transformation. And today, here's what I want to challenge. I want to challenge all of us to learn this, to learn to engage God in the moment, to allow God to change the moment. I want us to learn to engage God in all of the moments, the events, the experiences of our everyday life, in order that then God can actually change us and change us in that moment, right as it's happening. And there's a key passage that I want us to look at about this, and really will set us up for this whole series. And so I want you to take your Bibles, if you have one, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We provide Bibles for you. This is on page 808. And if you need a Bible, please take that. And for those of you who are with us online, your host is going to give you the link so you can follow along. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 16. The Apostle Paul is writing this. It's actually a letter he wrote to a church in the Greek city called Thessalonica. And he's finishing this letter, and he's kind of giving some conclusions to this. And look at what he says here in his final information instructions in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's so interesting is that this is one of the clearest statements in all of the Bible about what God's will is. What's God's will for you? Rejoice always. Pray continually. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. Now, in this series, we're going to come back and look at this idea of rejoice always and be thankful in all of our circumstances. But what I want us to focus on today is verse 17. Two words in English. Pray continually. Pray continually. This is a command. The grammar of that is actually a verb. It's a verb in the form. It's a command, but it's also an invitation. It's not. And the reason I say and just remind us it's a command is because whenever the Bible gives us a command, then it's possible to actually obey that command. So what I want you to know right now is that it is actually possible to pray continually. We just need to understand what that actually looks like, and it's an invitation that we would engage God continually in our everyday experiences and have that that constant conversation that's going on with him, a constant conversation that influences our decisions, that influences the conversations we have with others, that influences the way we react to people or situations. And so to pray continually is this, that we engage God in the moment to allow God to change the moment. That's what it means to pray continually. Now, if we're honest, and this has been my experience as I've talked with people, that very few of us think we pray enough. I rarely have I met somebody who said, "Oh yeah, I got this down. I pray plenty." That's not who we are, and that includes people like me. I'm a pastor. I know you think that I get paid to pray all the time. Fact is, I have a very busy schedule. It's a full schedule, and I can easily get distracted by all the things that are going on in my life. And what we're talking about here is taking prayer to a deeper level. And here's what I mean by that. Look, I have been following Jesus for a long time. He has shaped what I believe. He has shaped my values. I've developed habits that allow me to naturally respond and reflect Jesus. I don't do it perfectly, but it's there. But that's at one level. There's a whole deeper level that's available to us where we really are so God-aware, so God-focused. We invite God constantly into the everyday, not just the big things, but the little things that are happening all throughout our day. And that's at a whole deeper level. And that's really what we're talking about here, is how we engage God more consistently, more often. And so to be able to do that, to pray continually, we've got to have the right motivation. And that's the key to this whole thing. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. We've got to have the right motivation that will actually lead us to want to pray continually. And so I want to share an idea that I've learned that I use in a lot of different contexts that help us with this idea of motivation. It's called the golden circle. It was made popular by Simon Sinek, and there you see it there on the screen. And I want you to keep that graphic up for just a little bit. The outside is the what. What is the results? That's what we see. We see the results of something. So when you think about prayer, the what, the results did God answer our prayer? Did God answer our prayer quickly? Or did I feel good as I prayed? And we tend to focus there. And then we might go to the next circle inside, and that's the how. And that's where when we think about prayer, we think about how often do I pray? Where do I pray? What words do I use when I pray? What does prayer actually look like? And we tend to focus there. But if we really want to experience the results that are so powerful and have a kind of prayer that really is meaningful, we've got to go to the center of that circle, and that's the why. That's why we pray. You see, here's what Simon Sinek says when he uses this circle, as he says, is that the wrong why will lead to the wrong how, and the results will be wrong. So if you want to change the results, if you want to change the experience, the how, then you got to go back to the why. The why is the heart of this, and that's what I want us to really look at is why we pray. And so here's the question. Why do we pray? Why do you pray? Do you pray so you can pass a test? Do you pray so that the interview goes well, so you can get the job? You're praying because you've got this want or this need, or maybe you're praying because I just don't know what else to do. And all those are normal. And I don't even want you to hear that those things are necessarily wrong. It's just that our why has to be much deeper than that. It has to be much fuller than just wanting to get things that make our life better or feel comfortable in that way. And here's how we can deepen that why. Here's where that why can become profound and how it affects how we engage God. What if our why was primarily to engage with God? My reason for praying is I just want to engage with God. I want Him to have a greater influence in this moment, in this experience, in this event, in this situation. Because the greater that God is involved, the greater influence He has than whatever transpires in me or around me or with those I'm interacting with is going to be so much better. We want to engage God more in all of the situations, in the struggles, in the challenges, in the bad times, in the difficult times. But we also want to engage God in the times when things are going really good and there's a lot of joy and there's a lot of happiness. That all of that brings a fullness to our experience when God has a greater influence in all of that. And so here's the question. It's a question I can't answer for you. It's a question that really has to be your question. And it's actually several questions that are all leading to the same place. The question is this: do you believe, really believe, that God's influence in every moment will make a real difference for good? Do you believe that engaging God in all of the situations of your day could transform you and transform the situation and even ultimately influence those that you're connected with? Do you believe that a living, active, meaningful relationship with God would actually change you? And see, if we believe that, then that becomes the why that we want to pray continually, and that begins to shape us. So the why is what motivates the how. The why is what shapes how we actually pray. That's the second part of that circle. We start with why, we move to how, and so then we ask the question, so how do I pray continually? How does that actually work out? How does that actually happen? And let me be clear, there are times in our lives, every one of our lives, where something is going on in us or around us where we just need to get away, unplug from all the activity and busyness, from our phones, from all the noise. There are times we just need to pull away and just really be focused and devoted in prayer. That's absolutely the case. But that's not going to be able to be sustaining in terms of praying continually, because we can't, to pray continually, we can't literally pray every single minute. We can't pray in a way where we bow our heads and close our eyes and fold our hands and pray, because you can't do that while you're driving. Please don't do that while you're driving. That's not healthy and safe, okay? So how do we pray continually? What does that look like? What it means and what it looks like is it means that we're constantly God aware. We're constantly engaging with God in all of those significant moments or events of our day. Let me just give you two examples of how this has been working out for me, at least recently, as I was reflecting on some examples of this. And sometimes where this plays out is that we make decisions. Every day we make decisions. We make lots of decisions every day. In those decisions, it's an opportunity for us to engage with God. And so a couple weeks ago, I was going for my regular teeth cleaning visit. And I don't know how you do it, but when I know I'm going that morning or afternoon to get my teeth clean, then I make sure I've cleaned my teeth as good as I can. Really? Yeah, I know it's silly. Yeah, you're going to get your teeth clean, but man, you really floss and you make sure, you know, you brush extra long and you want your teeth to be as clean as possible. And as I'm doing that, it was just one of those times, and I've known this for a lot of years, but I just realized how crooked my teeth were. So I thought, well, I'm going to the dentist. So I said, you know, hey, what's involved and what does it cost to straighten my teeth? And when I found out the approximate cost, I thought, okay. was a little more than I had anticipated. And so that was one of those moments, experiences, where I engaged with God. Should I spend that money on getting my teeth straightened? I mean, look how old I am. Do I really need straight teeth, you know? Is that important? And as I'm having this conversation, God reminded me of two families that I'm close to that are struggling financially. And so then began this whole conversation. Do I get my teeth straightened or do I help out these families? And it was really clear in that moment where God was leading me that you know what? You're just going to have to live with my crooked teeth. Maybe I have to also. I don't know. There was a better choice there. Now, let me just be clear. If you're sitting there and you go, I got my teeth straightened, am I a bad person? No, that's not the point. That was God's answer for me. I'm not saying that was God's answer for you. There may be health issues why you needed to straighten it. The point is, when we come to those decisions, are we inviting God to really be a part of those decisions? Sometimes they're really big, sometimes they're really small. Another way that I experience this literally every day is that I have lots of meetings. Sometimes there are meetings with groups of people. Sometimes it's meeting one-on-one. And what I try to do, and I don't do this perfectly, but what I try to do is before I go into those meetings is just to pause and say, God, help me not be just so focused on the task or the problem, but help me really focus on the person or people. Help me to be aware of what you want to be doing in that encounter, in that situation. Help me be observant to what the work that you want really to occur here, not what I think is important. And again, there are times that I do that well, and then there are times that I just totally miss it because of being too busy. But that's how we practice that idea of praying continually. And the bottom line is, I want to see God in every moment, every conversation, every decision, every opportunity that I have to react to somebody. And we're not going to do this perfectly. I don't have this down perfectly. You don't have it down perfectly. And it's not about perfection. And it's not about shame. It's not about, you know, failure, like we're all doing this so badly. That's not the point. The point is can we move the dial? Can we move more and more into that engagement through all of the experiences? See, what I want for you and what I want for me is to engage God in the moment, to allow God to change the moment and do that more and more often. But there's more to how we pray. And not only is it this a continual experience, but it's also the content. What are we praying about? And what it's clear is that to have this kind of prayer, then we don't hide anything from God. We bring everything to God. We might be really frustrated. We might be really struggling with something. We might be sad. We might be depressed. We might be tempted with something that we know that we shouldn't give into. We might be lusting. And it's right in those experiences that we engage God. It might be that things are going really well. We're having a great time and life is good. We want to engage God in all of those whatever feelings that we're having. And here's my point with this. God made our feelings. All of those things I mentioned, the good feelings, so to speak, the bad feelings, he created us with those. But the reason he gave those to us is that those then become reminders that that's the very time to engage God. When I'm struggling, when things are going well, it reminds me this is an opportunity to engage God. Rather than trying to ignore our feelings or deny our feelings or even just label our feelings, what we do is we bring that before God. We use that as an opportunity to engage God. It could be that we're feeling overwhelmed by something, so we go to the one who's never shaken. When we're struggling with doubt, we go to the one who understands our doubt. When we're feeling just unsure about something, that's when we go and ask for help. The moment creates the opportunity to engage with God. And then Jesus helps us tremendously because he actually teaches us how to pray. He knew that all of us, and he knew his own disciples, didn't really understand this idea of prayer, and so he taught us. And I want us to look at how Jesus teaches us to pray in this context. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. There's a good portion of Matthew chapter 6 that talks about prayer. It's page 660 in the Bibles that we provide for you. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, just as Jesus speaking. He says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites." He's talking about the religious hypocrites. He says, when you pray, don't be like the religious hypocrites. He begins by telling us how not to pray, which sometimes is helpful. "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. I tell you truly, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." See what he's saying there? He's saying that the religious hypocrites, they're motivated by being admired and seen by others. Remember what I said earlier? You have the wrong why, it's going to lead to the wrong how and the wrong result. And that's exactly what we see there. So these religious hypocrites, their why, the reason they prayed was to be admired, to be appreciated by others. So what they would do, how they would pray, is they'd pray out loud in the street corners and in the synagogue so everybody could see that they knew how to pray. And then Jesus says, guess what? The result is there. The result that they got was they were seen by people. That's it. It wasn't that they got God's attention. They only got people's attention. And what he's saying to us is that when you pray, what's your motive? Don't do this. You don't have to literally go to a room, but his point was you're not doing this for the attention of others. Your why is to get God's attention. And what Jesus said is that those who do that, who are really seeking to get engage with God, they're going to get that reward. God will actually engage with us. It's not about doing this in front of others. It's doing it with God himself in authenticity. And then he goes on and he says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans." Pagans were those who had just excluded God from their lives. He says, "Don't go on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And that doesn't mean we don't ask him because he already knows, but the point is that it's not about the right words. It's not about having all the long words. It's not the how, it's the why. The why is I'm going to the Father who knows what I need. He knows what's going on inside of me. And he cares deeply about who I am. See, the reward is engagement with God. And as we engage with God, then we tap into an incredible power that changes us and can change our circumstances and the lives of those around. Praying continually looks just like this. What Jesus is describing, this is what praying continually is. These are simple, short prayers throughout our day. It's nothing complicated. It's just being honest and real with God, constantly engaging God throughout our day. And that means that as we're praying, nothing is off limits. We don't use filters for what we pray about. Praying continually includes everything. Praying continually is about the big things and the little things. And here's what's so incredible about prayer as we engage God, is that we don't have to put what I call these filters on. We don't have to figure out in advance, is this prayer okay or not? You just pray it. And as you're engaging God, if it's selfish, you know, if you're praying, "God, I want the most expensive Cadillac there is," he'll reveal it to you. You know, he'll say, "Look, that's really not what you need." But we don't, at the start of it, try to figure out what's appropriate or not. We're just real and honest and continually engage God. And that's when God has this incredible ability to begin to influence us and direct us and guide us and ultimately even change us. And that's what we most want and need. See, when we pray continually, we're just hanging out with God all day long. No matter what's going on, constantly asking God to influence our thoughts, our feelings, our motives, our desires, our actions, our words. And the more we learn to hang out with God, the more we want to hang out with God through all of those things. And that's life-changing. That's life-giving. That's transformative as we engage God continually throughout our day. So what I want to do as we are beginning this series is I want to challenge you with what I call a 30-day prayer challenge. And what we want to do is we want to remind you every day to engage God. And so what I want you to do is right now, I want you to take out your phone. Yes, take out your phone. Turn it on. Turn off the speaker. And what I want to encourage you to do is to text praying to 31996. And here's what's going to happen, is that you're going to get a prayer reminder every day. Now, we want to pray more than just once a day, but it's just a reminder you every day over the next 30 days to pray. And what we'll do is that each week is it will send you reminders about the theme and the focus of this week. And so we'll have that reminder for you about praying throughout all of the experiences of your day. And then with each new message, we'll give you additional runs. You'll get one a day. So sign up there, praying to 31996, and will help you to begin to develop maybe some new patterns and some new habits that can be incredibly life-changing. And what I want to do is I want to close with a scripture. And I don't want you to look it up and read it, because I want to read it to you. I'm going to read it from the Message translations. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I want this verse to be an encouragement to you as you look deeper at your engagement with God. Listen to how this is worded in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God has for you is the best thing you can do for him. Embracing what God has for you is the very best thing you can do for him. And so I want you to spend a little time right now engaging God. And I want you to do it through a song. Our band is gonna sing an incredible song. And it's not a song that I necessarily want you to focus on trying to sing. I want you to listen to the words. The song is Nothing Else. And this song is written in first person, so I want you to make the words that are going to be sung and that you'll see on the screen, make those your words. And use this as an opportunity to engage God right now. Right now, engage God in this moment to allow God to change the moment, to allow God to change you. And so, in what way do you need to engage God right now? What do you need to bring to God right now? Bring whatever is on your heart to him in this moment.